Well, welcome back to Coast. Open lines for you now. What's on your mind? And if you have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine, check in with us. I want to know if you had any after effects, what it was like for you. And, of course, the shots are given in two series about 4 weeks apart. You have to get two shots. And there's Moderna, there's AstraZeneca, which is got some problems, they say. It has blood clotting possibilities there. And then, of course, Pfizer has a good one out that they say is pretty effective, too. But check in with us. I just want to know if you got the vaccine and how you did, whether you got both shots or just the one for now. And then we've got open line calls when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines for you. I love Open Lines on a Friday night. But if you've been vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccination shots, check in with us. I want to see how you did, any adverse reactions, or did things go very well for you? And I sure hope they did. Let's go to Montana to get things started. James with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, James.
Hey, George. James from Montana.
Welcome to the program. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a few years since I've called in.
Well, welcome.
Doing all right. Hey, I wanted to know if I could call upon our Coast to Coast prayer warriors to do a mass prayer for my niece, Shelby. She's more like a daughter. She was one of my daughter's first friends when we moved back to Glendive after the military, but I call her my niece. Anyway, she's 28 years old. She has four children, and she was recently diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll put her on the prayer list for sure, James.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thanks, George. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for your military service and just being a voice for people that need hope.
We're going to be here for a long, long time, God willing. So let's just keep doing it. But would you let us know how things transpire with her?
I sure will. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks, James. Always a pleasure. And folks, as you know, on Fridays, we have what is called the unpublished prayer list. People literally email me asking for your prayers for afflictions for people. And we've been doing this now for, gosh, almost going on 18 years as well, as long as I've been doing the program. And we've had some remarkable, remarkable stories about the success stories. And people are even, you know, saying, please pray for my dog that's sick and my cat and stuff like that. But what I do is I get the email and then I condense it. We do not publish it, but I ask you to concentrate on a list of people with afflictions. And I read all those emails and the prayers happen. And prayer works. I'm convinced of that. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana, our old buddy. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George. I'm surprised you didn't start out with calling me corny.
I was getting close. I've been getting close to saying that. You don't mind it when I say that,
no,
do you?
No, George. No. I enjoy it. Look, I wanted to say something to James, too. Look, you just don't know, James. When you put on that prayer list, my mom had multiple myeloma blood cancer, and she lasted 3 more years because of the Coast to Coast audience praying for her and stuff. And I'm convinced my papa, who died of COVID-19 in December, lasted longer than what he would have. He was 92, and he fought it as much as he could. But the prayers that Coast to Coast send out, you and Tommy and all the rest of y'all just don't know. But let me
And let me tell you something, which I just found out. You know, every year I put my mother on during her birthday.
Oh, boy.
She is going to be 92 in May, wants to come on, but she was just diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, no.
So we got to say a little prayer for her, too. She's a fighter, and she told me, she says, Georgie, I might have had this for years and never even knew it. They found out in a simple little blood test. It's called leukemia CLL. Just keep her on the prayer list, too, Cornelius.
Yeah, we want to get her on every May. We want to hear Mama on in May.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, George, I wanted to tell you something. I had to sell some of my rare coins, so some people from St. Louis named National Rarities came over here to Snacks, and it's like a watch company and all like that. But they knew you, so maybe one day you go by National Rarities in St. Louis and see some of the coins I had to sell.
Sure. All right, great.
Give you and Tommy two of the coins because, like I said, there's nobody else there. I'm the last of the family.
No, I will not accept it. You give it to somebody else who's more needy.
I don't have no real family and stuff.
Yeah, your family is the show. You know that.
Well, I know that, George. But what I was going to tell you, what I told Tommy, I had a friend of mine, and she took the vaccine. It wasn't forced on her. But the people at the company said, this is voluntary. And she said she hadn't been the same since.
Really?
I just want to make people aware. I don't know what it's doing to people's bodies because, like you said, blood clots and different other reactions. And I still don't think they told us the truth on Hank Aaron when he took it and then he died all of a sudden. But like I said, George, the Coast to Coast order, and I heard about that UFO guy. He's sick now, too.
Yeah.
And
I don't think he has COVID, but he's sick.
Oh, boy.
But did you get the vaccine yourself?
Let me tell you something, George. Now, they say it's highly infectious and highly contagious. Months earlier, and I got some type of viral infection, but they said it wasn't COVID, and they released me. I think I spent 10 or 12 hours in the hospital here in Rapides. Well, my dad, November 17th, he got sick, and we had to rush him to the hospital. Well, they said they tested him for everything, but we thought it was a heart attack or stroke.
Yeah.
Because he was just real weak.
I remember that.
And he didn't have no strength at all. But we spent about 10 or 12 hours in the hospital, and they said his electric light level was low, so they gave him, saline or whatever that stuff is. They give you an IV and stuff. And so we came on home, and then 2 weeks later, on December the 1st, he fell out again.
Oh.
And so we rushed him to the hospital, and then maybe 4 or 5 hours from me waiting up there, they said, well, Mr. White, your father has COVID-19, and you won't be able to see him and stuff. And I got a chance to talk to him one time. We didn't have an iPad where you could see and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded
mm-hmm.
so bad, George. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not going to call up there. But, George, some of the people at the poor church hounded them people so much. I had to unplug the phone from his room. And it was wrong for them people to call up there and try to bother him and stuff.
All right. That happens.
But, like I said, George, them people love you. It's National Rarities in St. Louis, and they buy coins and old
guns. Yeah, I've heard of them, sure.
But the two guys, I love Coast to Coast. I listen to George Norwood all the time. So you'll see the four coins I sold or, and stuff like that. But, George, like I said, and Dr. Peter Bregan, I'm so glad you're going to have him on because I want to talk to him because I'm kind of depressed, George, but I'm not going to do nothing to myself.
No. What are you depressed about?
Well, George, Daddy isn't here, and it's just me in this big old house.
You've been bombarded with a lot of things.
Bedrooms.
I know, and then COVID doesn't help.
I'm having trouble with the banks and stuff, except for one. I'm going to give kudos to Capital One. Everything they told me I did, I got his stuff. But these other banks that he dealt, I'm fighting them tooth and nail. And I'm the only heir. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, work out a little payment plan with them. They'll all work with you.
Oh, no, it's not a payment plan, George. It's like, let's say when your dad died, let's say you were the only person. There's no other sisters or brothers or anything like that. Okay. My dad owes nothing. That's what I'm trying to say. These are just money in different accounts that he has.
I see.
So,
get yourself a good lawyer and go for it.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Look, George, I want to say one more thing. Ruthie, I love you. Miss Denise, she texted me and she was worried about me. And Lady T always writes me and stuff. And, we had a little earthquake up near Shreveport, so there's something rumbling around there near Shreveport.
You're on the New Madrid Fault.
Are we that far? I thought it was along the Mississippi River.
New Madrid goes all the way up and down St. Louis, up that way, all the way up north.
Okay. Well, anyway.
All right, stay strong, my friend. Okay.
And God bless you.
Good to talk to you. By the way, we're going to be live on Easter Sunday. I'll be here, so go have a nice couple shows. We've got some great guests lined up. And I, you know what? Even though we come in on holidays and you listen on holidays, I really appreciate these guests who come in on holidays, Christmas Eve, Christmas night, to also do what they do with us. I really appreciate that, too. Let's go next to Mimi in Midland, Texas. Well, hello there, Mimi.
Hi, George. I hope you have a very blessed Easter, and I can't tell you how much myself and others like me appreciate you being on in the holidays and the holy days.
Well, we will always do that. Now, I noticed that coming this Christmas, it's a Saturday, so we'll make sure our weekend hosts will be on live on Christmas as well. I don't want to have to take any money away from those poor guys and gals, so we'll let them do their show. But I'll be on Christmas Eve, which will be Friday night, but we'll have a live show on Christmas.
Well, God willing, I'll be here for it.
Yeah, I knock on wood, right?
Yes. And if you don't mind, I want to talk about something happy. And it's Liquid Luck, or Mind, Idea, and Manifest.
I love that book and Joseph Gallenberger's theories. Isn't that something?
Yes. And I want to tell a story. It happened, I think, in 95 to my daughter.
Okay, what happened?
Well, she and her husband were having all kinds of financial difficulties, and they sent the two girls to his mother's. They couldn't even afford to buy them anything or a Christmas dinner. And there's a story behind all that. It wasn't their fault. But anyway, come Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, they had $15 left. And her husband said, we can go get some fast food or we can go to one of the casinos. They lived in New Mexico and play bingo or something. And she chose bingo.
With the 15 bucks, right?
With the 15 bucks. And they went, and they got down to the last of their money in the game. And they won $1,000.
Woohoo!
And they had to go to another town to do it, but they went to a Walmart and just went to town.
They had a great time. I love it. It works. When your attitude is up and good, it works.
Yes, it does work. And I kind of have a word of advice to people about it. I feel like I've had enough experience with it to do that. People, we tend to think of wealth as money and possessions. And the true wealth is the liquid luck and the source, who I believe is God, behind it.
I agree. I agree. Did you get the vaccine, by the way?
Oh, absolutely not.
You did not. Okay. Well, stay strong.
No, I may be hitchhiking to travel anywhere.
Well, I just hope they don't make it mandatory for planes. I'm out of luck if they do that. And,
well, I do travel once in a while, not on the scale that you do it, but you know, I'm just not going to do it.
I don't like mandatory. I think everybody has a right to decide for themselves what they want to put in their bodies, and we should do that without any forced things from government. Anyways, text and tweets, what do you have for us, Tommy?
George, this one from Clancy in Indiana. He says, I know you believe in E.T. life, but have you ever seen an alien craft yourself or any kind of sighting?
Well, here's our story, and I want you to ride this with us, Tommy. As you know, and I've said this several times on the program, but for his benefit, you and I have gone to a lot of live events before COVID, of course. And years ago, every time we'd go to a live event, there was this little guy sitting next to us. You know, Tommy and I would go into a bar after the event, or we'd go have lunch or somewhere. But there was always this same little guy sitting at a table right behind us wherever we went. And it was uncanny. The first time, I didn't even notice him. The second time, I went, oh, yeah, that's that guy who was sitting over there. Then the third time, fourth time, you begin to say, hey, this is strange. He was always sitting there with a brown paper bag.
Oh, that bag.
Brown paper bag. And I'm going, you know what? There's something weird about this. And all of a sudden, on like the fourth or fifth time, He reaches into his paper bag. Tom's sitting there with me. And I went to myself, this is it. Is Tommy going to jump on me and protect me or what?
I was
what?
Looking for you to do that.
And anyways, he reaches into his bag and he pulls out some night vision goggles, comes up to the table, and his name is Ed Grimsley, who has since passed on. And Ed says, George, I want you and Tom to come up to the roof of this hotel with me, and we're going to look at UFOs.
Really?
And I'm looking at this guy going, oh, yeah, right. And he says, no, I'm serious. And apparently, you didn't go up that night, Tom.
I did go up.
Did you? I don't remember you going up there with
that
me.
That was probably the wildest thing I have ever seen in the sky.
Well, we looked at these whatever objects in the sky that you could not see with the naked eye through these third generation, which are pretty good, night vision goggles. And I was seeing objects doing 90-degree turns, stops way up there.
Like zigzags.
Zigzags. Yeah. And then stopping and starting again.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I saw two of them. And to this day, I've never seen anything like it again.
And he said that's exactly what we would see.
Yeah. Yeah. He said it. And he's since passed on. But I can honestly say I have seen two unidentified flying objects. I don't know what they were.
Yeah, I saw the same thing, and he said they were UFOs, but I can't say they were.
No. Nope. All right, go for it, Tommy. Mm-hmm. Tommy will be taking texts and tweets throughout the night. Let's go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, George. I want to just thank you for taking over Art Bell's Starship and keeping it flying.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, for being such a dedicated listener, and thank God that you bounced back from your coma, right?
I honestly believe that God has some purpose for me.
I think so, too. How have you been feeling?
Oh, I've been okay. I'm just sick and tired of the unconstitutional laws.
People still trying to play around with your rights?
Yep. I have two court-ordered guardians. My sister, my father, and they hardly ever see me. They just want to have power over what I want to do with my life.
Well, are they doing it because they care about you, or is there another motive here?
Well, I personally think another motive, but they say it's because they care about me.
Who has control over your finances?
Finances? I got the court to order a bank to have control of my finances, because that was what it first started off with over a decade ago. My sister and father petitioned the court to get ordered as my guardians and conservator.
So you've got the bank doing it now, and do they seem to be handling it pretty well for you?
Yeah, they're doing an okay job, but I personally think I'd be a lot better off if I could get a larger portion of my monthly annuities and invest them.
Sure.
So far, since the beginning of the year, I've been investing in penny stocks, and I've gained over $20,000 already.
Oh, good for you. You too. Did you get the vaccine?
No, I have not done that.
Are you going to?
I am not going to, because the last time I had a vaccine for the simple flu vaccine, the last two times I got nearly deadly ill.
All right. Well, stay strong, Jeremy. Jeremy got into a tragic car accident 17 years ago, was in a coma for a couple months, and you hear him when he calls in on the program. More open lines when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. More open lines here for you. Let's go right to the phones. Ray is truck driving somewhere in California. Welcome, Raymond.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Whereabouts in Cali are you driving through?
Well, I just went over Donner Summit and headed to Reno, Nevada.
Oh, enjoy and drive carefully, my friend. What's going on?
Yeah. Nothing. I was talking to Tommy, and I know there's somebody that you wanted to interview for a long time, and I kind of grew up with him. Wayne Newton.
Oh, yeah. Is he still in Vegas?
No, I think he sold his house there, and he's in Branson, Missouri.
That's a couple hours away from where we are right now in St. Louis.
Yeah. I think he lives out there now. I don't know if he still has his house in Vegas, but his parents and my grandparents were real friends, and when he got his start, he used to play a little casino in the capital of Nevada, and he used to hang out at the house all the time, and my grandfather would have to escort him into the casino to perform.
Wow, what a great talent he is.
Yeah, and that was just before he got big and went on the Ed Sullivan Show and did Lucille Ball Show with the little horse and all that stuff. And I know his brother, and went to his brother's wedding in Vegas. And
he got into a fight with Johnny Carson, a verbal fight, and walked into his office one day. I'm not going to be expletive about it. And said, right, if you keep talking about the way you are about me on your show, I'm going to pop you one. And I guess Johnny backed off after that.
Yes, he did. But, yeah, Wayne used to come and visit us all the time. He used to play Harris all the time. And, you know, I met, like, Sammy Davis Jr. and Bill Harris, all these stars.
Well, he had that big place in Vegas called Shenandoah, yeah, which he sold, but they let him stay in it for a while. So I guess that's the one he left, huh?
Yeah, I went to that house when he originally bought it and was there, and we had to go get some straw for the horses. He got these special miniature horses, and this little stallion would we went to get in the truck, and he pushed me out of the way, got right up in the truck and sat there like a person, and went with us. And we went and got some straw and stuff for the stables that he had there at the house. And yeah, it was quite the character. He was laughing, and you know, the little horse just did his thing, and brought him back. He got out and went and roamed around.
Well, you know, Andy Williams spent a lot of time in Branson, Missouri, too, and they had the Andy Williams Theater where he would he would perform. I wonder, do you think Wayne's going to perform in Branson?
I think he's been doing some shows. I probably haven't talked to him for over 20 years, but, yeah, it was quite the experience. I'd come in the house, and he'd be laying on my grandmother's bed talking to her while she was putting her hair in curlers, getting ready for work and stuff. So, you know, I saw a lot of stars and a lot of people like that in my house.
I've got a friend of mine who talks to him every once in a while, so I'll ask him because I don't even know if my buddy knew that Wayne moved to Branson. So we'll check into that.
Yeah. If you talk to your buddy, you tell him Little Ray said hi.
Little Ray, it is. Okay.
He will know who it is.
All right, super. Thanks, Ray. And drive carefully again. I think Tom wants to talk to you for a second. Next up, let's go to Jim in Cleveland, Ohio. First-time caller for us? No, it's Jim on the wildcard line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are things in Cleveland?
It's kind of chilly. One day it's real cold, the next day it's in the 70s and 60s.
Yeah.
So you really can't judge the weather yet, you know?
Spring's coming up, though. It's right around the corner
for you. I'm hoping. I really am. I'm very excited to talk to you. First time really talking to you. And I wanted to talk about astral projection.
Sure.
I'm disabled blind, and I put on my Kindle book a book. It's called Mastering Astral Projection in 90 Days. And it gives you a guide so far. It's exercises that you need to do with your body,
mm-hmm,
meditation, and all this. The question I have three questions real quick, because I know you have a lot of calls. The first question is, when you leave your body, since I'm disabled blind, would I be able to see?
Yes. In the astral state, yeah, you would be able to literally see wherever you are going. So, okay. Yes, yeah, you sure can.
Okay, the second question I have is, when you leave your body, you had a guest that was talking about, well, there's spirits all around us and stuff. Would you be able to see these spirits in meditation? You know, would you be able to see them, though, or what would happen when you leave your body?
Years ago, there was a book called Projections of the Astral Body by two folks, Sylvan Muldoon and Hayward Carrington. And they wrote a very extensive book about astral projection. And they say that when you're in the astral level, you go through various levels. And there's a lower level, some would call it hell, that people go through where there are entities there that try to grab onto you and stuff like that. And then there are higher planes and stuff like that. So in the astral plane, you would probably encounter all kinds of different entities.
Okay. And the other question, with the different dimensions that you would go through, there's different dimensions it mentions. If you're not really comfortable in a dimension, can you leave?
Yes.
Just go to a different dimension?
You should be able to, once you perfect your ability to perform.
Okay, and one more question. I'm sorry to do this.
and I've got one for you when you're done.
Okay, great. The question I have is, how do you know when it's time to go back in your body? Is there a time limit, or can you just say, hey, I'm going to be 2-3 hours doing this?
If you're not good at doing it or comfortable doing it, it does it automatically for you. When you start realizing you're in the astral world, it kind of pulls you back into your body. And so a lot of times you may be floating around, and it gets and it yanks you back, and you don't even want to go back, but it pulls you back in. So that happens a lot.
Okay.
And now my question for you is, do you remember your dreams?
You know what? It's so funny that you said that, because right now it's talking about all that. But guess what? I remember my dreams, every single dream now. And I'm not even trying to remember, but I remember all of them. And I don't have to say before when I'm going to bed, it says that you should say when you have dreams to write them down. I remember all my dreams.
When you dream, you are seen in your dreams, aren't you?
Yes, I'm seeing in color, and I'm seeing my dreams, and I also dream about flying, tons of dreams about flying. That's why I'm so fascinated with this.
Interesting.
This thing.
Do you see faces in your dreams and things like that?
I see people. I have dreams vividly. I have dreams, and I also have the last dream I had was me flying, and I was leaving. And I was going into space, and then I said, oh, man, I'm going so high up there. I got nervous and said, I better go back, and went back and woke up, and my body was ice cold.
Wow. And are you totally blind?
Yeah. Well, I do have very little vision. Sometimes I can see the television flickering and the light. I can see like a light, like my bedroom light. And all that. That's why I was concerned, because this book is saying you have to see and vision, you know, you close your eyes, and it's giving me all these exercises, but some of it I'm saying, okay, I don't have my vision. I can't see this. And it's telling me, like, for instance, okay, well, when you have it, you should leave other lights on when you leave your body, especially at night. You would see, and it would be very eerie and nerve-wracking, because it looks kind of scary, and you should go to another room where you have more light. So that's why I'm a little leery about certain things.
Have somebody do a computer search of the Monroe Institute for you.
Okay.
Monroe Institute, and get a hold of those people, because they are experts in astral projection.
I really appreciate you talking to me, you and Tom. Tommy, you're really good people, and I'm very happy, and I'll continue to call the show. And I did ask Tommy a question about the Google, the Alexa. So hopefully you will call me back about that, the question I had, because he said it was a good question and he would get to you. So I did give you guys my information.
Well, we've got a text and tweet from Tom. And Tom, before we get into it, what did he want to know about Alexa?
He wanted to know if you could sign up to be an insider through Alexa. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to find out, Jimmy.
I don't think we've set that system up yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to talk to Lex and see what we can do.
Yeah, the best thing is right now at this point is to get somebody to go onto our website for you, and then they can take care of all of this for you. And so what do you got for us, Tommy?
This one in from Jane in Menlo Park, California, simply says, what is your favorite zoo animal?
Gosh, I like them all. I love all these zoo animals. I love the big turtles that they got from the Galapagos. St. Louis has a great zoo, by the way. Just one of the best in the
country. That's a great question.
And I like elephants, tigers, bears. Oh, my. I mean, I like them all.
Pick one.
I can't. I can't pick. I like animals generally, and
well, sure.
I don't really have a favorite.
Who do you think of people in America, do they own more, cats or dogs?
That is an interesting question. I'm just guessing, but I would say there are more dog owners than cat owners.
There are more.
But I could be wrong.
There are more cat owners.
Are there?
Not by a lot.
Did you ever own a cat?
I did, several.
You got a little Freddie the puppy now.
Freddie's the best.
But you did have a cat?
Yes, a couple of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid?
Growing up, I had a black cat, and then later on in life, I had two twin cats.
But here's the thing about cats. They have their own mind.
Yeah.
They do their own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, do they come like when you go, hey, Fido, or here, Freddy, and, you know, come here, he comes up to you, right? I've seen Freddy. You've brought him around.
Yeah.
But would a cat do that?
No. Cat will come if you have like a cat of canned food. Can of cat food.
Oh, you probably get cat owners saying, my cat comes up to me all the
time.
Well,
you know what? Yeah, I can't say that for everybody's cat, but my experience is no, I can't just call a cat and they'll come right away.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to Charlie in Bristol, Tennessee. Hey, Charlie, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Cats. I wasn't going to call about cats, but yeah, I've got one, and he just kind of... He rules the house. He just looks at you.
Will he come if you tell him to, you know, what's his name, by the way?
King.
King? So if you said, come here, King, would he come prancing up to you?
He would if he feels like it. he kind of decides what he wants to do.
If he's in the mood, right?
Yeah, he's a great cat. I've never really been a cat person, but he just kind of wandered on my property one day and made himself at home. And great cat.
Love there he is.
And he's also very protective. He actually attacked a Rottweiler.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a tough cat. I don't know if he's a smart cat, but that's a tough cat.
Yeah. Well, the Rottweiler ran. He did not want that
dog. He probably said, if this cat's dumb enough to attack me, I'm getting out of here.
Absolutely. Quick shout out to Cornelius.
Yeah.
I think he seems like a super nice guy.
He's a good guy. I met him one time with Tom at an event in New Orleans. We were at a Oswald JFK a live event, and he came by. He brought us some hats from LSU and just had a great time. He's a good guy.
That's great. And your last call, I think Jimmy, he brought up some interesting things. That's not why I called is either, but y'all just have so many great topics on there.
Oh, they're endless, aren't they?
I know. If a person is born blind, when they dream, do they see?
And do they see in color?
And in color.
Those are things. I've talked to some people who have been born blind, and they, in their mind, make out structures and faces and things like that so they can see in their mind, I guess.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. And they feel, of course, they touch a nose and eyes and things like that. But you got to give those folks credit who have been born with those kinds of deficiencies and handicaps to be able to do what they do in life. I mean, I'm not sure I could do it. If I lost my sight right now, God forbid, I'm not sure I could get through life that way.
Well, and people that are born blind and deaf, can you imagine?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've known some people that, you know, they
Or you can't speak.
Yeah, or you can't speak. They communicate with the hands, touching another person's hand. I think, was it Helen Keller?
Helen Keller, that's right.
That had that problem?
Yep.
She was, okay, yeah.
Remarkable woman.
Yes, absolutely. The reason I called was I just, I got that COVID shot yesterday, and so far, so good.
So far. And do you know the brand, which company you had?
Yes, Pfizer.
Pfizer, yeah. That seems to be, based on what I've read and researched, that seems to be the better of the three different ones that are out there.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems at all so far.
And you got to go back in a month for the other one, right? For the second shot?
I got to go back in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And the people out there were very professional. It's pretty close to the Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you stay healthy, Charlie. We're going to come back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.